Welcome back to Off the Hour on CKUT. We are joined now by Salim Valley of the University of Johannesburg, which has proposed cutting official ties with Ben-Gurion University in Israel for its direct and indirect hand in perpetuating the occupation of Palestine. He'll be speaking this evening at McGill in a lecture called Reading Edward Said in South Africa, a reference to the works of Palestinian writer and political activist of the same name. Salim Valley joins us now in studio. Welcome.
Good evening. Thank you.
It's nice to have you here. So I guess the first thing we'll talk about this evening, you're going to be addressing the responsibility of post-secondary institutions and their civil responsibilities, responsibility to society. What exactly is that in your mind?
Well, you know, we oppose this view that universities should be ivory towers and taking our inspiration from Edward Said's work on the roles and responsibilities of intellectuals in society, that intellectuals and academics need to be socially engaged. They should be involved in the questions of the time. And especially for us coming from an apartheid background, racism, it's very clear that we have to be in the forefront in support of the Palestinian struggle. The struggle is for basic democratic rights, a struggle that we are familiar with and has resonance in our country. So, we in fact succeeded in severing ties with Ben-Gurion University, and this was in respect to the call of Palestinian colleagues, particularly in a group like PAGBI, which is representative of Palestinian organizations. So we're extremely pleased that this has been a successful battle. It's a battle that galvanized the trade unions, student organizations, as well as a large number of academics. And this is the issue I'll be talking to.
And this is not an easy, well, I suppose morally, if it's the decision you believe in, it would be an easy moral decision, but there are huge repercussions that other universities have felt. There have been proposals in Britain and in the United States to boycott Israeli universities, and they've been faced with what Alan Dershowitz, who is at Harvard Law School or law school professor, would describe as legal action that would devastate and bankrupt anybody who boycotts the Israeli university. Would you like to speak to that?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, you know, we faced those threats as well, and we continue to. It's a form of blackmail. You know, we don't take kindly to that. Again, what Edward Said said, to take a principled stand is something that you have to have the courage to do, despite this kind of threats, despite threats to your career. They have tried everything in their power in the past 18 months to prevent the university from taking this decision. They didn't succeed. And finally, with all their resources, all the threats, we've discovered they really paper tigers, that if we can convince people that this is the right thing to do, people will stand with us, and in a sense, they will be our protection. And this is what has happened in South Africa. It's not easy, of course. It's a battle. But we succeeded, and we think others can as well.
So when the University of Johannesburg was actually proposing to cut off ties with Ben-Gurion University, was this something that took place as a referendum? Was this something that, like, how were the students and the faculty engaged in this decision?
Ray, it was a long battle. It's an 18-month-long battle. Certainly in the university, through the various decision-making structures, the senates and councils, this was debated. There were various task teams, fact-finding missions that were sent to Palestine, Israel. But also, crucially, it involved society as a whole. It wasn't an issue limited to the university. The leading intellectuals of our country, cultural workers, writers, trade unionists, all took part in the debate, and this debate was carried out in the mainstream media, in the alternative media, almost every newspaper in the country, and most talk shows, electronic media, television, radio had a discussion. So it was an education in itself. So certainly in the university, after this long process, the final decision, the last Senate, which is the highest decision-making body, there were various viewpoints put across. It was one of the longest Senate meetings in the history of the university. And, you know, very interestingly, this is a university that was set up by the apartheid regime. It was called the Randse Afrikaanse Universiteit pre-1994. And a lot of the old professors come from that social milieu, which is a conservative social milieu. But in the past 18 months, we were able to convince people through force of reason to take the right decision to, in fact, it was part of the transformation of the institution. So there was a secret ballot, and close to two-thirds of the Senate members, most of whom were full professors, voted to sever ties with Ben Gurion University.
So perhaps you could speak a little bit more about that. Johannesburg seems to be a place that would be particularly fertile for a social movement such as this to support the work of another people who are trying to establish their own identity and establish their own rights to exist under great, great oppression. Maybe you could speak a little bit more about why South Africa and Johannesburg were the first to kind of pick up this torch.
Certainly, during the days of apartheid, Israel had very strong links with the apartheid regime, and that hasn't been lost on our people. They cemented these links through nuclear, military, trade relations when the world was boycotting South Africa, but also in the liberation struggle. Liberation movements made common cause with Palestinians. We saw our struggle as one. Nelson Mandela issued a very important statement many years ago that said that we cannot be free if the Palestinians are still oppressed. So in many instances, there was this sense of solidarity. And yes, we know apartheid. We lived through apartheid. Many key South Africans who visited Palestine saw what they experienced in South Africa. People like Archbishop Desmond Tutu has been very familiar with the struggle in Palestine and very key in our anti-apartheid struggle. So he's taken a very important stance for boycotting Israel. There are many other South Africans. John Dugard, who's known as the father of human rights law in South Africa, was the previous UN special rapporteur on Palestinians in the occupied territories. He's shown how many of the laws might not be the same as existed in South Africa under apartheid, but the effect is the same: discrimination of a people based on ethnicity, etc. So I think that has been extremely important, and that context is important. You're right. So in a sense, it's easier in South Africa than other places because of our history. But this doesn't mean that it's impossible in other parts of the world. I know here in Harper's, Canada, where people who take a stand on this principled issue face severe sanction, withdrawal of funds, and even academics who take a stand have tremendous pressure put on them. But there is a fight back. I know of a number of my colleagues here in the universities, like Ellen Sears, Mary Jo Nadeau, and others who have written extensively about what they face. And I think it's really a matter of time before the tables turn quite dramatically. I mean, if you look at what's happening in that region, in Egypt, etc., quite clearly Israel is facing a strategic defeat and becoming more and more desperate and therefore more and more dangerous. What we saw in Gaza not too long ago, where 1,400 largely civilians were killed, the Gaza flotilla, the Freedom Flotilla, the massacre there, that is going to continue to happen. And I think it's about time the world mobilized otherwise, however difficult it is and however dangerous it is to yourself and your career. But this is a principled stand. There have been a few struggles in history, the one against Franco's fascism, where the world stood up and even went there to fight Franco, the struggle of the Indochinese people against U.S. imperialism, the struggle of the liberation struggles in southern Africa and Palestine. The moment has come now for us to do the same in solidarity.
So what has been the general reaction then, foreign policy-wise and relations, especially within the African continent and the Middle East, since the boycott went into place? Has this been a decision that has changed the alliances that South Africa currently works under or works with, or has it just been the status quo at this point, waiting to see what happens?
Well, you know, we live in a world where issues of investment and money trump issues of solidarity. The orthodoxy is corporate neoliberal globalization, and apparently economic growth is what is most important for nation states. So certainly we have to fight against that. Increasingly, over the past 17 years since the end of apartheid, we've had successes more and more. We still have a long way to go, and we want the isolation of Israel to stop the diplomatic arrangements, trade, but we have a long way to go. So this victory is important, but there are many more victories we need.
Perhaps you could speak to something that I found when I was researching this afternoon. The Anti-Defamation League, after the British boycotts happened, I think it was in the middle 2000s, or proposed boycotts of Israeli universities for their support of basically a new apartheid in Palestine. The Anti-Defamation League called those boycotts to be anti-Semitic, used the term anti-Semitic, when they said that with so much trouble going on in places like Iran, Sudan, Venezuela, and Zimbabwe that seem to go right under the radar and do not receive boycotts, that this is actually an anti-Semitic action. Can you speak to that?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, there are two main issues there. First of all, we are very sensitive to that charge, and any whiff of anti-Semitism in our solidarity movement, we don't tolerate that at all. We've said this clearly. It's not a religious struggle. It's not a struggle against a people. It's a struggle against a system which we've deemed apartheid, and an ideology which is a political ideology, which is Zionism, which is different from Judaism, which is a religion. So we make this very clear, the distinction. But apart from that, you know, some of the leading campaigners in our movement in South Africa against the state of Israel are Jewish people, very prominent Jewish people, people like Ronnie Casserles, like Professor Stephen Stephen Weinberg, Ron Greenstein. These are Jewish people, and some of them scholars of Judaism, like Stephen Friedman, sorry. The other point is that, you know, during the struggle against apartheid in South Africa, we've had regimes which were even worse than apartheid. So, for example, Pol Pot, the Pol Pot regime, you know, overlapped with the life of apartheid, but he was already isolated. You know, so in terms of numbers of people murdered, etc., you know, this comparison is a bit facile. The difference is that there is sanction against countries such as Zimbabwe, such as Iran, and other countries that, you know, some people believe strongly are violating human rights. Israel violates almost every human rights law and humanitarian law and international conventions, but instead of sanctions, they are privileged, they are pampered in amongst nation states. They are given preferential trade. You know, applying for a visa to Canada, I see on the list of countries that you don't need a visa. Israel is one of them. So the point is that this hypocrisy is something that is why we have the BDS campaign. But the third point in response to your question is that here we have a situation where the victims themselves, the Palestinians who are oppressed, who suffer from illegal, according to international law, occupation, have called on the world to boycott Israel in the same way we called on the world to boycott apartheid South Africa. And we believe that we need to take a stance in support of the oppressed. And therefore, that's the third reason why the kind of accusations thrown at us by the likes of the Anti-Defamation League should be exposed for really just asinine arguments.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Valley, for joining us today in studio. Fascinating, fascinating work. You're going to be able to hear more from Mr. Valley tonight at McGill University. This evening, McGill University at Leacock. That's what I was looking for. Leacock Building Room 232. That's at 855 Sherbrooke. He's speaking as part of a series called Reading Edward Said in South Africa. So thank you very much, Mr. Valley, for joining us.
You're most welcome, and thank you very much, and your listeners.
We'll be right back on CKUT 90.3 FM. We're going to jump to some advertisements.